Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
How many of you I know that flu bug has been going around? Anybody get sick by that flu bug this week? Say amen. Some of these things in life just beat us up, don't they? Tear us all the way down, don't they? But isn't it a blessing to be able to come into the house of the Lord and be rebuilt, remanufactured? Do I have any builders in here? Any builders, any architects in here? Anybody that do building or anything? Got one back there. Men, how many of my men in here have built or rebuilt a project car? You guys know what a project car is? Yeah, women probably know, because when your husband or your guy buy that project car, you're like, what is that ugly thing you got there? And ain't that what you think sometimes? Get that stuff out of the front of my yard. It's a disgrace to our house. You just got that crap set up in front of our yard. But when the husband start working on it a little bit, put a little spit shine to it, start shining up a little bit. Men, what do your wives start saying? I want to drive that car. I want to ride that classic car. Ain't that correct? A project car. Sometimes things in our lives need to be rebuilt. Sometimes our spirits need to be rebuilt. Sometimes there's people or obstacles in our way that just need to be moved the heck up out of our way, because they are stopping the rebuild that's about to go on in your life. I know there's somebody maybe today that just feels like this world here has just become too much. This week has become too much. And you can barely stand it. And you're about to give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Have we noticed on the news, what's been going on in the news lately? The Pope. What did he do? Resign. Call the Catholic Church the world church, don't they? You know, they feel like all the things that the guys, the priests are molesting children and things. So it's become a disgrace to them. Is that correct? So now this next guy they're looking for him to be an evangelist. Somebody that can draw a crowd and rebuild their church, so to say. Is that correct? Is that the same things you guys have been hearing on the news as well? And I start thinking, as Adventists, amen, we're supposed to have it all, amen? We're supposed to have that truth, everything, that three angels message, right? I started reading our Southside mission statement. It says, by the grace of God and the authority of Jesus Christ, to be a spirit-led church that is trained to evangelize and disciple others into a loving fellowship open to all in the community. Where are we in times like this? When there's another foreign church looking to stand up and just gather everybody into this world here and say, come on in. But where is the true church? The true Christians? Do we need to be rebuilt? Do our evangelistic efforts need to be rebuilt? Before I begin, let us pray. Dear kind and loving Heavenly Father, I come to you as a servant, Father God, as a servant, as a slave of yours, Father, doing your will. I come to you humbled, Father God, recognizing it is not me standing behind this pulpit, but simply just being used by you to share your word, Father. And I ask that somebody out here, Father, may be accepted to your word today, Father God, that they may not see me, but that they may see you and that they may hear you, Father. Humble me so your will be done. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. As I'm talking, turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. What do we know about Nehemiah? Nehemiah. What was he? A builder, a visionist, a leader who set out and identified a need, identified a problem. Not only did he identify the problem, but he took actions. See, Nehemiah heard that the wall surrounding Jerusalem lay in ruins. which is a disgrace to the Hebrews. Other nations mocked them, laughed at them, just considered them a mess. But yet we're supposed, Jerusalem, supposed to, the children of Israel, supposed to be God's people. Is that correct? Supposed to be God's people. This terrible news burdened Nehemiah. He knew something had to be done. As we look around in this world, we see other people have evangelizing. We see people going through things. We see people trying to build a godly character. We see people trying to build a career. We see people trying to build a marriage. We see young people trying to figure out what this thing is, what this thing life is all about. Are we helping them build up? Are we helping tear them down? Are we identifying the problem saying, let me help that person. Let me help that person. Nehemiah decided, once he decided to take on the project of rebuilding the walls, which had been nothing but rubble. Do we know what rubble is? Just dirt. That's it. Just at the bottom. Any of my saints in here been here when this church was built? Anybody? Where did this church start from? The ground. Nothing but the ground. And now look at it. Now look at it. Young people, it's important to know your history. Because sometimes we take things for granted when we don't know where it comes from. But those walls were nothing but rubble. Had been destroyed. The gates have been burnt. There's people struggling. People's hearts have been broken. Marriages have been broken. People don't know who God is. But do you know how long it took Nehemiah and his crew and his team after he identified the problem to rebuild it? A little less than 2 months. A big old wall. 52 days to rebuild it. So I ask again, how many contractors, how many builders, how many life builder uppers do I have in this house today? One thing that we must first recognize as we're starting to build people up, or as we're starting to build ourselves up, or as we're starting to build the church up, the hardest thing to do is to look in the mirror and recognize that there's a problem. But that was the first thing that Nehemiah did. He identified that there was a problem. Identified that there was a problem. See, when you need to rebuild, you need to know where you're starting to build from. And as he's going through, like I mentioned, Nehemiah recognized that the city and the walls were a mess. A mess. Sometimes we must recognize that we are a mess. Church, sometimes we must recognize our efforts of spreading this gospel are a mess. Sometimes we must recognize that us that's in these seats are a mess. And that we're not ready to give this message. This message of hope. This message of love. Are we ready to help another soul be rebuilt when we're not rebuilt ourselves? Yeah, we might know everything. You might know all the gospels. You might know everything. But I can tell you, there's a poor person out there that used to be a rich man, that knows how to make money, but yet he's on the street corner struggling, homeless. See, we may know all of that, but do we really know how to rebuild? Do we really have it within us? Do we really have that love? Starting at verse 11, how did Nehemiah recognize this problem? Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11. And we'll go to 16. I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night, I went out through the valley gate toward the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on toward the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through. So I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work. In the night. In the night is when he went out. How many of you have had those sleepless nights where you just can't sleep? And say amen if you've been there before. I've been there. Where you just got a lot on your mind. As parents, where you just are wondering, where are my babies? Just last night, a young man, 22, 23, 24-year-old young man was murdered. There's sleepless nights for reasons that we don't know. Some people are having sleepless nights because of marriages. Some people are having sleepless nights because they're wondering about, how am I going to make it to tomorrow? How am I going to feed my little baby? How am I going to pay my PG&E? How am I going to pay my water bill? I was listening to a brother last week. He said, we need to create real life ministries. Real life ministries. See, we were built as a church on a lot of ministries, don't we? Man's ministry. What are some of the other ministries? Our children's ministries. Women's ministries. Religious liberty ministries. But how about those real life ministries? On how to get somebody to the next day. Real life ministries on how to put food on the table. Real life ministries on how to make it if you ain't got a dollar to your name. Well, maybe all of you've been here got more than enough dollars to your name. So maybe you forgot that struggle. We've forgotten where we come from. But sometimes in the middle of the night is when God speaks to us. When it's our quietest times. Where even when you're doing your crap, throughout the whole day, it feels good. But when you get to bed at night and you're just tossing and turning and you can't sleep, that's that Holy Spirit talking to you. It's that Holy Spirit telling you, you need to get right. And those quiet times are when we begin to see who we really are. Who we really are. When we begin to see that, you know what? What I'm doing is just not working. See, these clothes that I have on, a lot of people told me, you do look good today, Brother Wes. But underneath these clothes, you don't really know what's underneath. See, I can go all day and wear these nice clothes. See, you can be a doctor. You can be a lawyer. But a person doesn't really know what you're going through. See, we think the only way we can tell if a person is going through something is if they have holes in their jeans. If he's a little smelly. If when he start his car, it don't want to start. It make that... No, it's a little deeper than that. People of all calls, we don't know. But it's not until they get to that quiet time in the night where that Holy Spirit is talking to them. Or it's not until when they dressing themselves and they look in the mirror and they're not happy about themselves. Where they're crying to themselves. When things begin to bubble up inside. Who's felt that feeling? Say amen. Where you didn't know who you really are. When you've been through those low valleys, those low peaks. And it's not until then Nehemiah realized when he went out there just how broken down those walls and those gates were. Just how broken down all that rubble was to the very extent of this floor is what he realized. See, sometimes we can hear how bad it is. We see commercials. How many of you have seen the commercial where the animals come on? And it's sad. You know the animal commercial that I'm talking to? Isn't it so sad? Doesn't it bring you to tears? See, when you hear of animal cruelty and stuff, when I just say, oh, there's animal cruelty going on out there, you're like, okay. But when you see that commercial, it becomes a little more real to you. See, when Nehemiah went out and he seen those walls tore down, all the way down, is when he realized how deep it was. I remember when I went to TJ and that's the Tijuana. I remember going there with my mother and a couple other family members. I didn't realize how much poverty was outside of the United States. I didn't realize what people were going through until I seen little kids begging for food, running around with no shoes on. But I tell you what, if you've forgotten how bad the struggle is, how many people need to be rebuilt, there's ghettos right here in Bakersfield, California, you can go right into those neighborhoods and see exactly what people are going through. See, yeah, you might have moved on up, but yet you can always come on back and remember where you came through. If you cruise these areas right in our church neighborhood, if you look directly across the street, you can realize just how much we need to help rebuild this community. Or if you truly spend some time bonding with someone, you can realize just how much they need somebody to help rebuild them. See, when we are honest and ready to view and be real honest with ourselves, we realize just how bad we are broken, or just how bad someone else is broken, or we realize just how bad Southside is really broken down. But it's not until we're really honest with ourselves. Then we drop down to verse 17. And this is the key verse right here. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." Disgrace. Isn't that a strong word? Disgrace. How many of you have been a disgrace to your family before? Don't got to raise your hand, but I know some of you have been that. How many of you been a disgrace to yourself before? Where you know you haven't been raised a certain way, but yet you go on the complete opposite way. How many of us know that sometimes the church is a disgrace to God because it's so much more that he wants us to be doing, but yet we're not doing it. But yet we're not meeting the needs of our fellow brothers and sisters because we are failing to love. Because we think sometimes we're a little holier than thou. Because we think there's certain things that we should and shouldn't do instead of the main reason that we become a disgrace is because we forget to love. Because we forget to grab a brother and sister and say, "I love you. I know what you're going through. It's okay, because you're going to make it through." We become a disgrace. See, we are God's children and we are his church. I truly believe that we are his true church. We are his true church. He wants us to be fixed. He wants us to be rebuilt. But he knows we have to be honest with ourselves. See, Nehemiah knew the wall needed to be rebuilt. He identified that. When he seen it, he identified that. And he was honest. He said, "This wall would have needs to be rebuilt." What if he would have just walked away and said, "You know what? It's okay. Even though it's tore down, it's okay." Do you know that you need to be rebuilt? Members, do we know the church needs to be rebuilt? Do we know the church needs to be rebuilt? Do we know a little more love potion needs to be poured into this church? Do we know that? And if we don't want to realize that, then where are we going to go? See, the struggles of this world may have broken you down. See, members in the church may have broken you down. Elder just said it. Get involved in a ministry. There's lots of ministries that you can get involved in to rebuild this church. See, maybe you come from somewhere where you're like, "You know what? Now I need to start a ministry." Well, you can do that, because there's somebody that was just like you that's going through those same struggles. But if you don't do nothing about it, you're not helping rebuild this wall. You're not helping rebuild this church. And that's what God is calling us to do. See, it might have broken you down, but we serve a God who is more than a conqueror. I'll say it again, because I know there's more amens. We serve a God that's more than a conqueror. Is that not correct? We serve a God that's willing to go to battle for you. But all you got to do is recognize the problem and say, "Lord, I'm ready to serve you. I'm ready to overcome these battles. This brokenness. I'm ready to overcome where I've been at. I'm ready to overcome depression. I'm ready to overcome my financial insecurities. I'm ready to overcome the struggles in my relationship. I'm ready to overcome self. I'm ready to overcome self. I'm ready to be rebuilt." See, God is the key architect. He's the key to rebuilding you. And all you have to do is know to fall on your knees and pray to him and say, Lord, I need you. Cry out to him because he's waiting on you. He built us and he created us in his own image. See, that's deep. God created us in his own image. When you look at yourself, you're looking at an image of God. You're not a broken person. We are not a broken church because we are made up of God's image. That's what God wants you to realize, is that you're a special person. God wants you to realize that regardless of what you're going through or what you've been through, that you were created in his image. Maybe you lack the self-esteem. Maybe you don't have all the friends in the world. Maybe there are people bringing you down. Maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe you lost a husband, a wife, a mother, a father. But God created you in his own image. In his image, there's no flaws. Maybe you think you're a little overweight, which has got you shook up. But God created you in his own image. Own image. He knows what he wants us to be. See, God still has a plan for you. He still has a plan for you. And a prime example of that is the thief on the cross. Waited a long time, but he was still built back up. See, God is waiting on you. And I hope that you don't have to wait till you're on your deathbed to realize that. Enjoy him in your days of youth. See, we're all youthful. Brother Doug, you're still youthful even though it's your birthday today. He's got that energy when he comes for the children. But there's no age on it, people. No age on it. Enjoy God now. Right now, enjoy him. Drop down to 18 and 20. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king has said to me. See, what these people didn't realize is that Nehemiah had already had the plan laid out. God had already set it up. And see, when you are made in his image and when you're ready to walk on the path that he has for you, everything will start falling into place. But when we deviate a little bit, that's when things stop working out. That's when we start breaking down. Young people right now, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds. You have the opportunity because you haven't went through much. Well, you know what? There are people at 5 and 6 years old that's been through a lot. So let me correct that. But if you're living a life as a young person, there's not much that you've gone through. And if you stay on the course, you don't have to experience some of the things that others are. You don't have to get broken down. You don't have to give up your virginity. You don't have to sleep with a lot of people to validate who you are. You don't have to join a gang to validate who you are. Then you don't have to walk back through all those things. If you do like the story says, follow the yellow brick road. It'll lead you right to the castle. Young people, just follow the yellow brick road. And if you jumped off that yellow brick road, my people that's been through a little bit in life, you can jump right back on that road. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. See, when you tell somebody, church, that God has a plan for you, when you tell somebody that I love you, when you stop the negativity and say, no, you can't do this, you can't do that. But when you tell somebody I love you and I want to support what God has for you, that person will be willing to say, help rebuild me. That person will recognize that you are an instrument of God, and they will let you work with them when they trust you. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. See, I want you to know that as you're starting to be rebuilt, it's going to be people around that still want to break you down. I say it again. There will be people around that still want to break you down. When you want to start a ministry or when you're doing work, there will be people in this very church house that want to break you down. There will be people when you're hanging out and you tell them, I'm good, I don't want to hang out no more. They're going to make fun of you. But you know what? I'm not sitting here telling you just because you reaccept Christ into your life or because you get back on this road with Christ that the road is going to be easy. Because the Bible tells us all that shall live godly shall suffer persecution. But it'll be a persecution that you know is worth it. Because you're doing this battle for God. So don't let people stop you. Because people are just meant to be obstacles. If a hurdle is in your way, it's meant to be jumped over. If a hurdle is in your way, it's meant to be jumped over. And you know what? You might trip over the hurdle. But you know what happens? You get back up. And there's going to be 10 other hurdles. But as long as you keep getting up, he will continue to bring you through. And it's all right. Like I mentioned, don't get frustrated. Because I know when I'm doing ministry, that there's people that sometimes want to stop you. They want to put these rules on you. But don't let them stop you. Remember, all that shall live godly shall suffer persecution. I answered, then he said, what is this you are doing? They asked, are you rebelling against the king? I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. That's what you tell those people. We are ready to be rebuilt. And to start fixing there, we will still be roadblocks, spiritual haters, as I call them. People that don't realize they are a disgrace. They don't realize themselves they need to be rebuilt. I say that again. There will be spiritual haters, people themselves that don't understand that they need to be rebuilt. What you do for them is pray for them immediately. Those people will try to block you. I figured you would catch on to it. You're probably thinking of people that you need to start praying for. Or maybe if you're real with yourself, you're like, maybe I'm a spiritual hater right now. But here's what you do. You stand right up to them. Tell them, my God will prosper me. My God is awesome. And what does he say? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Don't matter where that weapon is set up at. Might be right here, very next pew to you. But no weapon that forms against you shall prosper. Regardless of what you've been through. And I know, because I've been through the struggles. I've struggled to pay a bill. But I know, I've experienced death. Close loved ones to me dying. But I know my God is awesome. I know he will bring me through. I know there's no hurdle too big. I know if I just have faith the size of a mustard seed, I can move mountains. I know you can overcome. And I know you might be struggling. I know your parents might have left you. I know you might have became a disgrace to them. They might have disowned you, but I know that your Father, your Heavenly Father, is right there waiting for you, saying, come back to me. He's standing right there with his arms open, saying, my child, just come on back. I know he's ready to rebuild that wall in you. And it starts with one stone. And that one stone might be you coming up to this altar right now saying, Lord, I've strayed away. But I'm ready to come back to you. He's crying for you right now. Somebody's out there that's struggling, young and old alike. You might have been a spiritual hater, but you're saying, you know what? I'm sorry. I've been blocking people from doing the work of God. You might need to bring it on to the altar. Church, you might be saying, I've been walking. I've been going. I've been doing the will of God. But there's more that I can do. I want to start a real life ministry. I want to be a little less selfish. I want to be a little more giving. I want to be a little more loving. Maybe you need to bring it to the altar. Maybe there's just one person that was struggling. You haven't been to church in a while, but now you realize that I can be rebuilt. And that rebuilding process starts right now. Right now. He's looking for you. He's begging for you. And I know sometimes it feels a little embarrassing to step out and walk. But that's all he's asking you to do. Maybe he's asking you to be the leader of your family. Maybe he's asking you to be the man of your home. Maybe he's asking you to be the woman of your home. I tell you, church, today you can be rebuilt. We serve an awesome God who's more than a conqueror, who will net no weapon that comes against you. It will not prosper. Dear kind and heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Father. Thank you for sharing with us your servant Nehemiah, Father God. I ask that if there's somebody in here, Lord, that needs to be rebuilt, that you let them know that it's okay to be rebuilt, Lord. That you let them know, Father, that you are there to start laying the stones down, Father. To start laying the foundation down for them, Father God. I ask that you will let them know that they are a king or a queen, Father, in your eyes. That there's nothing that they could have done that would make you turn your hand away from them, Father. Allow them to realize that you are still there, Lord Jesus. I ask that as we end this day, Father, as we end this service, that you will just touch us. That you will start a fire down in our soul, Father, that we cannot contain or control, Lord Jesus. Please be with us, protect our families, protect our pastor as well. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.